Let's get in the Word, Psalm 119. This is part two of last week's message. It's time to simplify. The series is called How to Simplify Your Life. And starting a new year off, it's important that we make some changes where changes are necessary. Amen? If somebody comes along and says, I don't need to make any changes, well, then you're just perfect. And if you don't need to make any changes, adjustments of any kind, then, you know, wow. I think whoever you are, wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, you can make some changes. There's some things the Lord is wanting to hone in you because, believe it or not, none of us have reached perfection. Amen? So Psalm 119, let's look at verse number 130. It reads this way. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding or giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, we made mention to you last week that the word simple does not mean and should not be interpreted that it's the word gives understanding to those that are less than stellar in their IQ or, you know, just a bunch of dumbbells. Let's just bring it down where the rubber meets the road. No, it's not saying that the word gives light and it's only for stupid people. You hear me? The word simple means uncomplicated. The word, the entrance of the word gives light, but it gives understanding to those that will approach life in an uncomplicated way. There are a lot of things that complicate our lives and litter our lives and take up time in our lives. Time wasters. Have you ever met a time waster? I know some people that are time wasters like that. They'll come up, you know, they've wasted all their time. Now they want to waste yours too. Time wasters. There are things that we own that can be time wasters. Well, yeah. You've got time to always mess with that, but you never have time to read your Bible. You've got time to do this, but you never have time to get alone with God. The more complicated a person's life is, the less time they're going to be spending with the Lord. Amen? That's true. Now, it's not to say that we don't have some things that are very complex in their nature. I pointed to your body last week. If you look at your hand, look at your hands right now, and you have a very complicated body that God created. And it's complex. It's the most complex thing there is in this universe. Your physical body. Yeah, well, I think some computers are... Hold it a minute. Computers can be complex, and we don't all understand computers. Some do better than others, of course. But who developed computers? It was a man that God created. That was the one who put their brain to use to figure these things out. Hey, man. So your brain is very complex. Your brain is more complex than any computer. So we have complex things. Now, like I'll state, our car out there has somewhere between 35 to 40 computers in it. A lot of the new cars have all these, everything's computerized. Everything from your brakes to this to that to the shift to, I mean, computers. When you walk up to my car with the key in your pocket, it'll go, shh. I didn't say anything. What is, you know, you're telling me to shush. it's the ride. It does something. You hear this kicking in, and that's all computer controlled. Very complex. So we're not saying that we don't have complicated things, complex things in our lives, and starting with our own physical bodies. But just because I have a complex vehicle doesn't mean I'm spending every waning moment of my day trying to figure out how that thing works and not spend any time with God. I drive the dumb thing, okay? Amen. Let's go over to Luke chapter 10. So it's going to be those of us that uncomplicate things, in other words, simplify our lives, that are going to come to that place of understanding. Last week we talked out of Psalm 46, verse 10, that we were told in that portion of Scripture, "Be still and know that I am God." And we mentioned to you the importance of being still and reaching a place of stillness in order to hear from Him. When life is too complicated, too complex, we don't spend time listening to the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, if you'll get along with God, He'll give you the answer to anything that you have a question over. Amen. You remember Mary telling the servants at the wedding at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Well, I would suggest that you get alone with Him, get still. Make this a new year, a time where you're going to begin uncomplicating some things in your life. Get still with the Lord, listen to what He tells you to do, and then do it. Amen. He may speak to you about something that you are doing in your life that needs to change. Or He may speak to you about something you're not doing that needs to change. He may tell you to do this, do that, do the other. I don't know. He's your God. He knows you better than anybody. So we need to spend some alone time with Him. And that whole process of simplifying our life is what we're addressing in this series. Again, this is number 2 in the How to Simplify Your Life series. And this is Simplify Your Life, part 2, or It's Time to Simplify, part 2. Now, in Luke chapter 10, there in verse 38, we did go on to this last week for just a little bit. But let's read it from verse 38. It reads this way. Now, it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Let's make a note. Sitting at Jesus' feet was a Hebraic term for being discipled. Okay, that was a Hebrew idiom for being discipled. And heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to Him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, that you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing's needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Praise God. What we see is Martha having the Savior, Jesus Christ, in the flesh at her house. I mean, I think we'd all like that, wouldn't we? Jesus, you want to come for dinner? Well, yeah. That would be really neat. So she had this wonderful opportunity, and of course Mary was there, but Martha was doing some good things, right? She was getting everything ready and cumbered about in the kitchen and serving, making sure everybody had that, but she was doing the right things at the wrong time. Jesus said about Mary that Mary has chosen the needful thing, and that which she has chosen will not be taken from her. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. What would, and this is a good thing for all of us to catch a hold of this right here. The thing that is needful versus the thing that seems good to do is where we have to make the choice. Sometimes somebody say, well, it would just be being totally irresponsible if I didn't do this that I need to do. Oh, but you haven't had any time with the Lord today. You haven't spent any time at the Master's feet. You haven't spent any time talking to Him. But you have all this to do, so I'm going to do that. Don't you know it's important? Sure, it's important, but you're not doing the thing that is even more important first. Ooh, I feel the conviction hitting. Mary chose the thing that was needful. Martha was doing good stuff there at the house. But you can always tell when things are getting complicated in a person's life. Even though they're doing good things, they start getting uptight, fearful. And then the thing that follows is normally criticism and judgmentalism toward others that may be doing what underneath it all you know you should be doing. She spent time with the Lord. Well, who was going to make sure that the dinner was made? There was a time to make sure that dinner was prepared. And had she thought it out a bit, she could have had things in a place where they were set but not complete and spent some time at the feet of Jesus. And who knows what kind of an anointing would have fallen upon her to make the meal even better after she was done listening to the Lord. I've always told you this. Did somebody say, well, I need to take care of this. Yeah, but you need to put coming to church and hearing the word first. Yeah, but I need to take care of this. Oh, that reminds me of a banquet in the Word. And the guy invites a bunch of people. Oh, I've got, you know, I just bought me this. I got a piece of land. I've got to go out and prove it. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. And it didn't say that the guy that set the banquet up was happy, did it? Instead, it really just came right down to this. He was ticked off. And people say, well, you get ticked off when people don't show up for church? Yeah, I do. Let's just settle it. I do. Well, just for that, I'll show you. Well, you know what? You're not showing me anything. What's needful? What's needful? I endeavor by the Holy Spirit to feed you every time you come in these doors. And if all I had to do was put on a shirt and a pair of pants or a dress, I wouldn't wear a dress, but whatever, and come and sit and listen? Serious? I don't have to write the sermon? No, just come and listen. Really? I don't have to? No, come and listen and be fed. The banquet's being made ready. Amen. So don't take that the wrong way, in that I'm steaming every time I see somebody who's not at church. Because that's not it. But I do know that the Spirit of God gives me things for this church, for this congregation. And if you're part of it, you need to be hearing it. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So here we go. She started getting uptight. Critical, judgmental. Lord, don't you care that my sister's leaving me to do all this by myself? And I'll tell you what happens when lives get too complicated. Things get out of order. And one of the first things that settles in is criticism toward others that are doing things that you deem, you know, they're not taking care of this, that, and the other. Well, again, Martha could have taken care of some of those things, but she chose that over sitting at the feet of Jesus. Is really what she did, okay? It's really what she did. She chose, yeah, well, somebody's got to take care of all this. I understand that. It needed to be done. Yes, it did. But Mary would have been in there helping, but Mary had a conviction in her heart to spend some time before the Lord first. It wasn't to get out of helping in the kitchen. That wasn't why she did it. She loved the Lord that much. She wanted to sit and hear what he said. She relished his words. She was hanging on every word. And Martha was like, yeah, that's good, but I need to do this. Be very careful of that in your lives. Amen? So daily spending time with the Lord will take you to that place of being still. You say, I live in still water. Are you functioning in stillness and spending time with the Lord like you should on a day-by-day basis? Every one of us have responsibilities that we cannot ignore. Being still does not mean becoming irresponsible about obligations, okay? Here's what you were created to be. The word is very plain about it. In our lives as men and women of God in this earth, you and I are called to be this. It's very simple. You and I are called to be stewards in this earth. Steward, remember that word? It's throughout the Bible. You see it in the New Testament. It's a Greek word, oikonomos. What does that sound like to you? Economy, right? Or economics. Or economos means the Greek word for house is oikos. But oikonomos means a house distributor or a house manager. You and I are supposed to be managing the affairs of our lives and getting them in order and making sure the priorities are where they need to be. You're called to do that. Well, my wife is the organizer. I've even said that. You know, Anne's a better organizer than I am. She may be. But I can't bump it off on her. Why didn't you organize my life for me? Or you to your husband. He's a better organizer. Wait a minute. You're called to organize the affairs of your life, and you can't bump that off on somebody else. Every one of us are going to stand before the Lord one day and be responsible for organizing our own lives. You say, now, wait a minute, I thought the Lord was supposed to organize our lives. Listen, he expects you and I to do some things. Amen? That's what being a steward is about. You need to be an organizer. Here's a definition for management. The organization of the resource or resources at your disposal to accomplish a desired purpose. The organization of the resource or resources at your disposal to accomplish a desired purpose. Every one of us are called to organize the affairs of our life, to manage the resources or resource of life with which we've been trusted to secure the purpose of God in our lives. Things get very complicated when we are poor managers of what we've been given. And your time is all out of whack, and you're spending more time doing this when you need to be over here at the feet of Jesus. You're spending more time over here with this little thing trying to figure out your 40 computers in your car when you're not spending enough time what the Lord's telling you to do to spend with your family. You're not spending enough time. The things that are needful are getting brushed aside for the things that you either want to do, have a fleshly desire to do, or you think are the right things to do. Well, let me say there's no more right thing to do than to spend time with the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you get ready to go on a trip, and I could use the Billidoux's or the Treese's for that matter, going to Oklahoma City, or Fred going to, did he fly out of the city or Tulsa? From Stillwater, okay, so he didn't need to make sure he had a full tank when he drove from the house to Stillwater. But if you're driving out of town, you don't go and get in the car and hop in and see that the gas gauge is right near empty. We'll be fine. You ever run out of gas? That's a horrible feeling. Everything's great. All of a sudden, goes quiet. Tell you what's even worse is breaking a timing chain at 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour. Timing belt, we had that happen on the Honda when we were first married. And I'm serious, guys, I knew that cars and trucks had timing chains because they all did early on, but then they changed them over to belts. And I didn't know that you were supposed to change that belt. And we were driving home from Glenn and Joan's house one night on a Sunday night. It was about 10 o'clock, and I turned the corner at 33 and 177 coming up from Perkins that direction. Got on it, went through the gears, got on it, and all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I got nothing. I downshift, and it's okay. And all of a sudden, it's running a little bit. Quiet. I said, I don't know what's going on. So I put it in neutral and coasted to the side of the road, and we had broke that timing belt. Well, the mechanic says it'll be probably a new motor for you. And at that time, minimum of $2,500. Well, we didn't have a pot to plant in those days. We didn't have very much. And I said, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to change that. I need mercy. So he goes in, the mechanic gets in there, he looks and he said, well, I can tell you right now it's going to be a pretty sizable bill. I said, well, I'm not believing that. He calls me up the next day or next afternoon, whatever it was. He goes, I can't believe it. He said, we're done already, $117. He said, that belt snapped. You were going, how fast? I said, 55 probably, maybe 60. And he said, that should have bent everything in there. It should have just made a mess and trashed the motor. He said, not a one was bent. I said, God gets the glory for that. He looks at me. I said, yeah, I prayed. I said, I'm not supposed to change it. But I asked the Lord, and I said, I even laid my hands on that car. He's like, ooh, boy. I said, man, you don't understand. And he's a believer as well, this guy, but he just doesn't quite take it to that. He wanted me to pay him $2,000. $117 was what I ended up giving him. And I gave good testimony for the Lord. Praise God for it. So we have to. We can't ignore the responsibilities of life, but we are supposed to manage things. You know, you and I just write this down if you're taking notes. We need to be like Mary. And I don't even mean my sister Mary right here, although she's a good girl. Girl? She's older than me. No, we need to be those that go after the thing that's needful. If you really want to know the truth of the matter, most homes today have their priorities really messed up. Even Christian homes. Oh, they'll say the Lord's first. But spending time with that Lord who's first, most people just don't want to go to hell. And so, well, yeah, of course the Lord's first. The Lord's first. Is he really? Are you spending time with him? Do you get alone with him every day? Do you spend some time in the Word every day? Do you talk to him? And then even beyond that, let him talk back to you and minister to you. We need to be quiet. We need to do whatever he tells us to do. Most people don't know what to do because they never get quiet. They never take time to get quiet. Got to be still and know that he's God. You don't have to be still to know about God, but you do need to be still to know him. That's an intimacy that only comes through uncomplicated lives. We need to uncomplicate. So where are we going to be dealing with this? Well, there are three areas. I'm going to close it right here. That's pretty short service, wasn't it? Oh, trust me, I can preach a lot longer. Three areas that we need to address when it comes to managing our affairs. Number one is our time. Ephesians 5, verse number 16 says, redeeming the time for what? For the days, remember that verse, are evil. I'll tell you something. If you don't get a hold of your time and learn how to use your time the way it should be used, something, someone, in some way or fashion, something evil will eat up your time. You say, well, you mean people are evil? Listen, there are evil people, of course there are, but that don't serve the Lord, that listen to the devil and hate Christians and all that. But redeeming the time, turn over to Ephesians 5. I need you to see that. Ephesians 5, redeeming the time. Turned right to it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's verse 16 of Ephesians 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do something with your time, or it will be eaten up by the evil that's in the world. That's what I wrote down. How many of y'all can attest that there's something that will come to steal your time? The minute you set out to get with God, get alone with God, oh my goodness, I forgot about that drawer that needs to be cleaned. That drawer's been sitting there for 15 years like that. And now you think that the Lord is telling you to go clean that drawer out? I mean, wake up. I mean, seriously, wake up. Here's the other thing. You sit down to pray. And this little thing is just sitting right there next to you. Oh, I put it on silent. Ooh, ooh, man, ooh, ooh. It's my turn in that game. Thank you, Lord, for a good move. Hey, hold on a minute. Why don't you put that thing somewhere else? If there's somebody that relies on you, I will do that with my mom. I'll say, I'm going to, you know, or I'll just put it somewhere where I could hear it if it goes off. But you get pretty used to how you deal with these distractions, you know. So you get ready to pray, and the minute you do, somebody calls you with a serious situation. And in my case, they'll call me, and if I don't pick it up and answer or respond quickly, they think he doesn't care. No, I'm doing that which is needful. So just understand that. If you have an emergency, it's one thing when I see it, okay? But if it's just a chit-chat, I don't like the chit-chat anyway. But if that's all it is and I'm in time with the Lord, I'm not going to pick it up. Say amen, Pastor Dan. That's prioritizing what's wrong. Now, if it's a serious something, I'll be there. I'll do what I need to. But that's where we need to be at in our lives. The minute you sit down to pray, the children come running in. You know, I was 5 of 6. Johnny was number 6. I was 5. Mary was number 4. And then I've got 3 ahead of that. And Mom couldn't get any peace. You know, Dad was out trying to keep clothing on our bodies and food in our stomachs and all that. And Mom would try to get alone from these kids. Every time she'd try to be alone, then somebody would be knocking on the door. She'd go in the bathroom. We'd be banging on the door. Let us in! I remember, now listen, I wasn't 15, okay? You know, little boy, you know, just wanted Mama. Yeah, I told you about us getting dragged in there last week, didn't I? But, you know, I think as parents today, you get alone, you want to get alone with God, and the kids start acting up, and you know, this spiritual person is in there reading their Bible and praying, and in comes one of the children. Hey, Mom, my name, will you shut up? I'm praying. You are so spiritual, it just reeks, man. Can't you see I'm in prayer? I'm making my faith confessions. Will you shut up? I mean, serious. I had a guy years ago. He was, the person told me about this situation. I had heard him one time do it, but he had prayed with another person in the church. And when he got on the phone, you know, he didn't spend a lot of time with God, but this really ticked him off that this person was sick. And he gets on the phone, he starts rebuking the devil. And before you know it, he's using the F word. He's cussing his ears off at the devil. I don't do that. I don't condone it. It's just how some people are so shallow in the things of God. And here's the crazy thing about that. That person got healed. Now, that's not something that you go, well, you see, he did it. So now, no, you know better than that. He seriously did not know better. He had cussed since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, and now he's this age, 70 or whatever he was. You blankety-blank devil, in the name of Jesus, I'll rip your blip, 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 head off and all this and that. Listen, your time, you need to redeem. So the first thing we're talking about here is a time. We're going to be looking at that in the weeks to come, of how you need to uncomplicate things regarding your time. You need to redeem the time. Everything in our lives is time sensitive. Have you noticed that? Oh, yeah. Days, months, years, these are time measurements, and time should be important to you. Number two, resource management. This is another area that we have to address when it comes to managing our affairs of life. Natural things that you've been entrusted with by the Lord, maybe your house, your car, your money, your possessions, whatever it may be, you got to learn how to take care of those things but not let them intrude on your time with God. And that can be a challenge. I thought it was so great getting a big yard. Now that I have it, you know, I want it to look nice. Man, I got to carve out like 3-4 hours at a minimum to go out there just to get the thing where it looks. You know what I'm saying? And so how do you justify that? I redeem the time. I'll go ahead and put my earbuds in and put the gun muffs over the top on the rider. Man, I can be listening to sermons, playing the music if I want. You know what I'm doing? And I can redeem the time that way. And I use my time on my mower sitting out there, you know, for prayer time. God, I have to mow. Austin mows some for me, but I use it as a time. So what we're going to talk about, resource management. And that includes your money as well, how you deal with your money and what you do with your money. That's very important. The Word has a lot to say about all that. Then lastly, number three would be relationship management. You're called into lives of different people. Some you're going to impart things into their lives. Other people will impart things into your life, but you have to deal with your relationships with people. And some relationships get very complicated. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Some relationships get very complicated, and the more complicated they get, the more time and the more draining of your life resources take place. So we're going to look at that in the weeks to come, about relationship management. And now of these three areas that I just mentioned to you, time management, resource management, and relationship management, all the things that would come to, I mean, this is what we need. Those are the areas we need to take the word and apply. The word has a lot to say, but those are also the areas that the enemy will attack. Amen. Just realize that. Just like I just said, when you set out to pray, he's going to attack your time. He's going to come against it. He's going to try to stop that the best he can. You tithe, you start to give, man, he's going to attack your finances. He has no authority over our finances in Jesus' name. Amen? You start to try to really step up in the way that you're treating people in your relationship, somebody's going to get mad at you for no reason and say, so the enemy will see to it that somehow or another somebody gets offended, somebody gets mad, and try to complicate the whole thing. All I'm saying is he will attack in those areas. These are things we need to stay on top of. And starting a new year, we want to simplify our life. We need to get some things out of the way that are complicating because we want understanding from the word. The entrance of the word gives light. Well, I want to be one who can receive it. I don't want so many things going on, all this complicated stuff going on in my life that I don't have time. I don't have time. I got to take care of my yard. I don't have time. I got to do this. I got to pay for that. I got to blah, 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 blah. And you get nuts doing that. So uncomplicating your life, there's some things that we can do, and that's what we'll be looking at in the weeks ahead. I don't know how long this is going to go, probably 10, 12, 15 weeks. I don't know. There's a lot there in the Word. So praise God. But everything that complicates our lives can also be put in one of these categories that I just mentioned to you. So be aware of that. Be on your toes. Anybody going to get still this week with the Lord? You shouldn't have to go off on an island somewhere, although that would be fun. But that shouldn't be the only way you can get still before God. If you have too many things happening in your life, that everything's too complicated and everything's too busy and blah, 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 I hate to hear it. I'm so busy. Somebody, I'll see somebody, I haven't seen him in a long time. I've just been so busy, Pastor Dan. You need to hear the series that we're doing. Yeah, yeah. Amen. So, did you get something from this today? This is just kind of a launching into the series, but praise God for that. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads, go before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for this time that we have together as your children, believers. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives, and thank you that you are showing us, Lord God, and giving us the wisdom on how to pare back and cut back things that have been part of our lives that are just draining us. Father, we want to know where those vital key areas in our life, each one of our lives, are located and what we need to do about it and how we can simplify things, streamline our lives in a greater way according to what you tell us. Not what Pastor Dan said, not what somebody else suggests or what have you, but what you say, what you say. We want to do what is needful first. We need to be still before you. We know that. We vow we'll do it. In Jesus' name. And devil, I'll tell you something. You're under our feet. You're not going to mess with our thoughts. You're not, you think you win. You don't win. You are the loser. And Father, we thank you that greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. And I thank you for health rising up speedily in the people. I thank you for encouragement, Lord, creative ideas of things that they need to deal with in their lives to begin to streamline things and uncomplicate their lives. And I thank you for it. And I praise you for that wisdom. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree, say amen. See your hand.